We're so very thankful that God has granted us another day on this earth. For the blessings of even the air that we breathe as we have just prayed. For all the things that God has blessed us with throughout our lives. Think about this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As we have just sung, whether you are discouraged, going through trials, tribulations, suffering, pain, anguish, that we're to do and give thanks in all circumstances. Well, we got Thanksgiving on Thursday, and maybe some would give thanks for that, but what about every day of our life? Well, every day of our lives for the Christian is a day of thanksgiving. Well, we should think of it. What when you are going through trials and tribulations, say, well, I can be thankful when good things are happening, but when bad things are happening, well, what will help us to be thankful to God? What will change our attitude and mindset? Well, as we look upon the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaking by inspiration in Ephesians chapter 3. And remember, the Apostle Paul is in prison while he's writing this epistle. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive, other translations would say understand there, my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We think about the fact of when you think about the mind of God and the vastness of this universe and all that he has created, and he knows every single one of us we've all been created in the image of God for his purposes, for his plan, for his desire that we glorify and honor him. Even if we're in prison for preaching the gospel. The fact that as we look upon the Word of God, that when we read it, we can understand it. We can have the same insight as the Apostle Paul. So we're not missing out because we didn't see the miracles, wonders, and signs that they saw in the first century. We can have that same insight because it's been revealed. And aren't we thankful for that? When we think about being thankful to God, that as we look upon everything in our society, the contradictory philosophies and false teachings of men, the deception, the lies that are going on, that we can trust and depend upon every word of God. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verse 16, hopefully each and every one of us have this attitude towards the Word of God, the Word of Christ. When we think about the fact that Jesus was with God in the beginning, Jesus is the Word. He communicated God's will to mankind. The Apostle Paul, writing to Christians here, he said in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That as we look upon that word for richly, dwell in you richly, that we have the attitude and mindset of desire, wanting it, and we're letting it dwell in us. That means when we're reading it, we're meditating upon it, and as it continues, it said, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice the connection with that. Hopefully, as we've been singing these hymns, to our great and matchless God, the one who loved us, the one who sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we are singing with what? With thankfulness. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. How many times you look about through the word of God and talking about giving thanks unto him? Well, we'll change our attitude and mindset for those who aren't reading and meditating and doing God's will. Curses, profane thinking, complaining, whining, moaning, which we hear from so many individuals if things aren't going their way. In Philippians chapter 4, we can multiply the passages on this. In Philippians chapter 4, again, the Apostle Paul, he's speaking from prison for, think about, well, you don't know my circumstances, how difficult and the suffering. Well, thank God you're not in prison right now for preaching the gospel. You are able to be here, and that should be, you should be thankful for that. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4 in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So why don't I have peace in my life? Because if you're not doing the will of God, if you're not reading every day, meditating on it day and night, like the psalmist said in Psalm 1 and verse 2, I'm not letting my mind dwell on these things and meditating upon them. Well, I've gone to services, I'm done, I'm out the door, and so I don't pick up and listen to the scriptures. That's not going to be helpful to us. If we want to truly be thankful to God, God has given us his word to read and meditate, to practice these things. And the promises of God are true, are faithful. The God of peace will be with you. He just talked about right before this about you're anxious about things. You're worried about different things in your life. We're told don't do that. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. By in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Are you doing that? The promises that you'll have the peace that passes all understanding, which will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, to keep your focus on spiritual things. This will be helpful to you. If you've had a negative mindset, things aren't going well, well, see, I'm suffering, so how am I supposed to do this? Well, the Apostle Paul was suffering in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. What an example. What a godly example for us. These brethren saw his example. They knew that he wasn't a hypocrite. We can depend upon every word of God. Are you doing that in your life? The song that the hymn that we just sang, count your many blessings, name them one by one. See, if we aren't doing that, if you aren't counting your blessings, truly, when you think about it, you're going to start counting up your curse, all the bad things that have happened in my life, instead of the spiritual blessings in Christ, especially in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse 3, again from prison, said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to what? According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, have been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. To his glory. To his glory and honor. The fact that we look upon the fact that all these spiritual blessings that we do not deserve, because God had a plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. Not that he picked and chose individuals who are going to be saved and those who are going to be lost, but those who are in Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Those who are in Christ will be able to enjoy this. You think about those who have been adopted, and what a blessing it is for those parents that they chose concerning to be adopted. You think about it, especially as far as being Gentiles, which very likely most, if not all of us are, to think that we could be adopted in God's family. The Jews, God's chosen people, to the most part rejected him. The Gentiles have the opportunity to be saved through the blood of Christ, just like the Jews. The blessings of being in his church, the blessings of him purchasing the church with his own blood to be members of his body. To be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ that we can pray for and be thankful for every day of our lives. That we can be united and love one another and stand for the truth, which is how all people will know that we are his disciples. If we love one another as we are obeying his word, we're counting our blessings. We are strong in the Lord in the strength of his mind, as we had studied last week concerning being a good soldier, putting on the whole armor of God, and we can stand firm against all the schemes of the devil. Redemption through his blood. Is there anything greater? You think about all the possessions that you might have, and they don't compare to all the spiritual blessings in Christ. You talk about gifts as people are looking forward to and thinking about, maybe not just Thanksgiving, but Good Friday and all these good deals and all the things that I might get, all the gifts that I might be receiving at Christmas time. And you think about concerning all those things, don't compare to all the spiritual blessings which we have in Christ, especially the redemption through his blood, the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Think about parents who give good gifts to their children. And Jesus used that example in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, but how much more your heavenly Father giving a gift that you do not deserve in Jesus Christ. The future inheritance as far as in his family, the inheritance of eternal life concerning the gospel, hearing the word of truth, obeying the gospel of Christ, and God will fulfill his promise. And we should be responsive to that and not be caught up in all the things of this world. In Philippians chapter 4, the whole thing is that this doesn't come automatically. Many times it comes as a result of suffering. It's amazing to me, as you think about the Word of God, how it seems like the most thankful people on earth are the ones who suffer the most in this life. Those who have cancer, debilitating disease. Those who aren't physically able to maybe do what they had in the past. And yet so thankful and yet so gracious to God, while those who have all overabundance of physical things, have a nice car, a beautiful house, all the physical things that you could want or need, but are ungrateful and unthankful and ungodly many times. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, in Philippians chapter 4, talk about this learning process. And how many times when you're young, when I was young, not being thankful to God for all the blessings of even just having a place to stay out of the elements of the cold and the heat, and being thankful for that, being thankful for heat and air conditioning, all needs supplied for abundance of food, for just the simple things of, as we talked about the blind man this morning, having eyes to see. What a blessing that is. Having ears to hear. Having a nose to smell, to breathe in. And a mouth to be able to speak. To all our organs working in harmony and unity together in general. And the whole thing is that all these blessings that we just take for granted so often. And the whole thing is that the Apostle Paul has been in prison as we're writing a lot of the New Testament here. And in Philippians chapter 4, do you think that came automatic to him to be content while he is in prison? He's going to tell us how. So how did he do that? How am I going to do that? In Philippians 4 verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Obeying the passage of 1 Thessalonians 5, right? In all circumstances, be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He learned that. It didn't come because, well, he had great parents and he learned to be thankful. We have to take each and every one of us that as we look upon our parents, that we're thankful for our godly parents. We're thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're thankful for those who are bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're thankful for our young people being thankful to God and that they are here this day that are serving God and serving Christ. They're learning to be content. So when those difficult circumstances come, when they are persecuted for the cause of Christ, when they are suffering, I am learning to be content. Because as we sang earlier, be with me, Lord. The Lord is with you when you're doing what is right. No matter what the opposition is, the Lord is with me when I'm doing what is right. I know, the Apostle Paul says, how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Because we think about sometimes concerning suffering and being dependent upon God. I have this thorn in the flesh. I've been praying that it might be removed. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. How are we going to take that as far as I can't be content because I'm suffering, I'm in need? It helps you to think like what the Apostle Paul, hopefully we can say with him, when I am weak, then I am strong. So I'm well content. My circumstances of persecutions, afflictions, and suffering. Power of Christ might dwell upon me in his life. So what's the secret? You should know the secret, right? Mentioned in the next verse. I can what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And not just a matter of those who are athletes saying, well, I can do all things through Christ to be able to score touchdowns, to do my best. We're talking about serving the Lord and serving Christ. And so we learn these things. We learn these things from his example of enduring through sufferings and afflictions, especially as he died on the cross for our sins. Can we say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and be content in whatever circumstances? If you're not counting your many blessings that you have in Christ, then it's very unlikely that you will. About coming to worship, how did you, when you came this morning or in preparation for that, did you come with zeal? Boiling over with zeal and enthusiasm, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The psalmist could say that in Psalm 122 in verse 1. In Ephesians chapter 5, as we're singing through these praises, I'm tired of singing the same hymns over and over again. And sometimes it can become just a ritual to whereby the words don't mean anything to us. These words, they teach and admonish one another as we're singing these hymns. And so I'm reflecting and I'm thinking about the words that teach and admonish. Because we know Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. As we are praising and worshiping God, that our minds, that we are zealous, we're thankful unto God. Even as we're hearing the word, that we're like those Bereans who received the word how? Oh, that preacher, I don't like what he's saying from God's word. Well, is it from God's word? If it's from God's word, we should have the attitude and mindset, I'm going to receive it with great eagerness. How am I going to demonstrate that I'm showing great eagerness? What am I going to do? Examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I'm human. I make mistakes. As we think about concerning the challenges of the Word of God going forth, and here as far as coming together, that we are united in the Word of God, so we can receive it with great eagerness. We're going to be examining, hey, if there's something that I failed in what I was saying, adding to or taking away from the Word of God, something that's wrong, something that's error, something that's deceptive, please be my friend to show me that from the Word of God. That's how you'd be showing your zeal. Aquila and Priscilla took aside Apollos and explained to him the way of God more accurately when he only taught the baptism of John. No, you'd be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. They taught him the way of God more accurately. This is how we zealously show forth. We had prayed together concerning God loves a cheerful giver. Not one who is, well, I have to. I want to do the will of God. And as we're gathered together here in Hebrews chapter 10, we should not look at this as a negative passage, but an encouraging passage, because that's what is spoken in here. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the Hebrew writer by inspiration said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Do you need to hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering? You start missing services. You aren't reminded of God's promises. The first point, I'm not reading and studying and meditating. What's going to happen? I'm going to be unthankful. I'm going to be ungrateful. I'm going to be complaining and murmuring. Here, as we are gathered together, we are stimulating one another to love and good works. This is what we should be doing. We're reminded of the promises of God, that God is faithful. Here are these brethren who are departing from the grace of Christ to go back to the law of Moses, because they're suffering through persecution. If I'm suffering through persecution, I need to be here to worship him. That we study in our Bible class on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and many aren't here. We're going to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth again tonight. at 5 o'clock, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, and Wednesday at 7:30. And here I desire to encourage one another towards love and towards good deeds. Because as he said here in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And he gives a warning here in verse 26. Here I'm going to ignore, I'm going to neglect. Not talking about those who are sick, those who are suffering, those who are not able to attend. Here, verse 26, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Lord is going to be here. We're going to be in his presence again. What a great blessing it is. Well, help us to be thankful to God that each and every time that we come together, that we're going to zealously worship him and in spirit and in truth. Are you going to be here to be able to worship God and to encourage your brethren, or forsake or neglect this opportunity? Then also to shine forth our lights for Christ to save other sinners. Look at the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1. The young gospel preacher Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. You say, well, I can't do that because I've been such a great sinner in the past. Look at the Apostle Paul. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Notice we mentioned concerning earlier in the Ephesians chapter 1 concerning all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. He didn't have that when he thought he was doing what's right, when he is putting men and women, those who are Christians, into prison, when he casts his vote for death. He did that in all good conscience. He realized that he was wrong. We have to be willing to humble ourselves and realize when we are wrong. This saying is trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as a foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you imagine the change from being a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man to be able to speak forth these words of grace and mercy, thankfulness, shining forth his light for Christ to save other sinners as he's encouraging Timothy, and they're facing very difficult times during that period of time. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Notice it. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Remember, he didn't know whether he was going to live or not. Even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. He is shining forth his light for Christ. Think about how easy it would be to grumble and dispute and complain because of what had happened. And, well, what good does it do to serve God? I get put in prison. I'm suffering through all of this. It's not fair. It's not just. It's not right. Well, was it just and right for Christ to suffer a cruel and agonizing death on the cross because of your sins, because of my sins? How else are we going to have the forgiveness of sins? What an example that is for others to see a change in your thoughts and your words and your deeds and those who have known you, maybe from high school, those who are co-workers or classmates and you're converted to Christ and here forth you're shining your light for Christ. What happened to Steve or Carl or Darren, Bruce, Brett, Caleb, Parker, Layton, Greg, Nanette, Jeff, Sandy, all these individuals here, Isaiah, he's shining forth your light for Christ to save other sinners. That would demonstrate your thanksgiving to God. The Apostle Paul was thankful. The faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Even as we look in Acts chapter 5, in Acts chapter 5, yes, as we look upon the apostles, they didn't understand. You think about the patience and long-suffering of the Lord with his own apostles who really didn't get it until after he was raised from the dead. They were wanting power at his right and on his left hand, united on the day of Pentecost as Peter preaches the gospel, put in prison for preaching the gospel. And here in Acts chapter 5, towards the end of the chapter, here they're called, Sanhedrin calls in the apostles, and they beat them and charge them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. How did they respond? Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing. Why? That they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. What a change concerning their lives and the change in our lives that should be. As we're thankful to God every day of our life that we're going to shine forth our lights to Christ. But if we're complaining and murmuring and whining, why would others want to be like us in our lives? The whole thing is that if we aren't thankful to God, if we aren't thankful to God, this is what we get in our society. Romans chapter 1 is what we get. When you don't give thanks to God, Romans chapter 1, I'm not going to read through the whole chapter. God has given the evidence of his creation, and his creation denying it, the evidence of his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, being clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. What happens when you don't honor him? What happens when you don't give thanks to God? The Bible is true. You examine it for yourself. Because as it continues, he says here in verse 21, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We talked about in the Gospel of John in our Bible study this morning. People are walking in darkness. They're complaining and murmuring and whining, not giving thanks to God. They're not honoring him with their lives. And so they became futile in their speculations as far as a big bang theory as to how this world came to be. And all of this is basically rejecting of God. Because you go back to verse 18, And he says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. The devil is deceiving them. In verse 21, at the end, their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And God gives them up. You have free moral agents. You choose to go down that road to homosexuality, to being disobedient to parents, all the other evil and sinful and wicked things. These things are practiced. Those that practice those things are worthy of death. He said there in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, do you want to go down that road? And so heartbreaking and wrenching to see those who have obeyed the gospel and departed for foolishness, for sinful, evil, wickedness. The thing is as you look upon not being thankful to God, does becoming a slave to your sinful desires, whatever feels good, do it. Go down that road, which will lead to an eternity of suffering. But why, instead of going down that road to ruin, the road to salvation is through Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood. Why not obey the gospel? If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, hear what he says. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 15 and 16. On the day of Pentecost, they were convicted. They had crucified the Son of God. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are joyfully receiving the word, you'll do what the Lord says. If you listen to false teachers, you're just going to, hey, I accept Christ is my personal Savior. I just believe in Christ and I'm saved. No, not according to the words of Jesus, the words of eternal life. The only words that are going to save your soul. What are you going to say in the judgment day when many would be told to depart? They called Jesus Lord, Matthew 7. We did all these things in your name. In verse 22, you say, depart from me. Listen to the word of God. Read, study, and examine. If you're subject to have an invitation, if it's a penitent believer, there's no reason to wait, no reason to delay. Why are you waiting? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We call on the name of the Lord when we obey what the Lord has spoken, not by saying a sinner's prayer. If you're subject to have an invitation, don't let this time and opportunity go by. Judgment day is coming. We'll be judged by the deeds done in the body. It is urgent. It is very urgent because today is a day of salvation. Today is the only day that you have. And you can truly be thankful to God, obeying the gospel. We'll rejoice with you as the Ethiopian did it in Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 38. Or if you need to be restored through repentance and prayer, the Lord desires that the unfaithful return. And you can do that. And the Lord will joyfully receive you back. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, God calls, we encourage you to come right now as you stand and sing.